Welcome everyone to Studio W, The Buzz and the Soul Savage Show with your hosts, EB and Q-Lane Green. Special guests, Taylor Gordon, aka the Pocket Queen. All right, this is the Soul Savage Show live on Studio W, The Buzz. Q-Lane.
Hey man, what's going on?
Hey, everything's going on. Right now we're playing Cold Blood. Baby, I love you. EB, what's happening?
What's going on, Will?
All right, congratulations, EB. Hey, you know, we have a superstar, Q-Lane, in our midst. EB. Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. Featured in Essence Magazine, man. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Pleasure. The pleasure's all mine, my friend. All right, this is the Soul Savage Show. EB, Q-Lane, take it over.
Yeah, man, that was, EB's having like the best week ever right now. Like, he's on a podcast,
Boonie Breakdown.
Yeah, and then you got the news of featured on Essence. That was cool as hell. And then they dropped Soul Savage's name on there too. I thought that was cool as hell too.
That's my favorite part.
Right. I was like, oh man, this is dope as hell. I just looked it up just to see because I remember seeing your tweets about, and we'll get to that when we get to Savvy News. We're going to talk about that, EB, for press. But right now, we got a special guest we're going to introduce right now. She's an extraordinary drummer, musician. Videos go viral like every time. I think one of the first videos I saw was, I think it was Outkast. Via Bombs Over Baghdad. I think that was the first one I saw. Let's just skip to it. We got a phenomenal musician. Her name is Taylor Gordon. How are you doing?
I am good, y'all. How y'all doing?
Man, we gonna get to it. We've had like musicians on back to back weeks, so our viewership is split. Like, they love it when we talk about popular news. They're like, damn, when you gonna get some musicians on? Because we talk about, with our website, we talk about music. So they're like, when we gonna get to it? So we finally got somebody on to talk music. We're gonna try to behave ourselves because we kind of get wild on here. So I'm gonna try to tame it down just a little bit. I don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. But how you been doing? Just to get started, I guess, what made you want to start, you know, I know it's a part of the branding, but what made you want to start taping yourself on video, like when you're in your rehearsal room?
You know, I started doing it back when I was in college. For all you wondering, I know I look young, I'm 27, but I started playing drums in college and I used to do these videos. But when I moved out to LA, which is where I'm at now, I kind of got so busy playing everywhere that I kind of stopped doing the whole social media thing. It was always something I plan to stop doing. But recently, after getting off tour, I was touring with this artist, Daya, who had a hit with the Chainsmokers like in 2016. After getting off tour, I was kind of confused with like what I was going to do. And after having a conversation with my dad, he was like, you know, I just was always confused as to why you never like really put yourself out there. You're always investing in other people's bands and other people's brands. Why not build your own? So I kind of, like, he's always been telling me that, and I always kind of ignored it. But this time I really took his word and made the first video. And I thought, you know, I always thought that they would catch on, but I didn't think they would catch on so quickly. Because, like, the first one that I put up, like, got retweeted a whole bunch of times. It was the first time I had ever seen any of my videos get that much feedback. Like, usually it was always just, like, a small puddle of people, but I don't know what happens. Sometimes when it's time, it's time.
Yeah, that's what it is, the perfect time. And listen, when I see your videos, and we're going to get into it a little bit when I ask these questions, I just want to say that for you to be, I was just so, like, happy that it was Pocket Drummer, like, going viral, because most of the time it's, like, people that do a bunch of shedding, and I'm pocket over everything. I'm a drummer as well. So when I see drummers like actually playing it, but the thing is, like, with watching yours, is like you're in pocket, but if you're still doing a lot at the same time, so it's like you got your own style, you got like the whole package. I think that's why it gets a lot of traction, because you fit like every mold to what a musician's supposed to do, and you keep it in pocket. And I wanted to know, because a lot of people don't know, that shit is hard. Like, I mean, especially playing Chaka Khan, like, for you to do that shit so effortlessly, I was like, yo. It was, because I know, like, Chaka's, I'm like a huge, huge Chaka Khan fan, because I'm like a big fan of Rufus' rhythm section. And so, because he, like, when you hear the song, they groove real hard, but when you actually play it, it's mostly the kick drum and the hi-hat, the where it's like you really got to, like, fit. So what was it about, I think, in terms of your musicality, like, what, and I guess learning your musicality, what was it about finding that pocket where you found, is that where you found yourself in that pocket, like, in terms of just being a student of the music?
Yeah. I found myself really thinking about, like, all the songs that I love and really reviewing if I actually knew the group, you know. And most of the time when you go to places and you hear musicians play these songs, they don't even play it like the record, and it doesn't even feel like the record. So,
right, exactly.
Like, if you really just break down, you know, a key to being great is, like, studying the great. So if you really just break down your homework as far as, like, what was this drummer doing? What was the interpretation of the field? Am I fitting right inside of the pocket? You know what I'm saying? Not just, like, playing on top of it, but really being in there. But, yeah, right. That's the type of music I always love, too. So it's always what I related to. I grew up on a lot of the songs that I'm playing to. So I'm just really remaining true to, like, what I truly love and not, like, just trying to do what everybody else is doing.
Right. I'm going to go back. I'm going to read a little bit of your bio to the people that don't know. She's you're originally from New Orleans, right?
Yep.
And it says, and I'm like, already knew just from your ability. I was like, you had to been somewhere. And I was like, you've been to Berklee College of Music in Boston. And I was like, that makes a whole lot of sense because a lot of great musicians come from there. And then you're everything. You're DJ, producer, multi-instrumentalist. I want to go back a little bit in terms of, musically, your upbringing. I know it played a part. I know you've probably been playing since you were a kid, but, what was that, what was something that you take from childhood that you still do today? Like, for instance, like me, like, I still look at, like, album credits, like, especially with soul records, people that still put out soul albums, or just anybody that does live instrumentation, I still look at album credits, and that's how I do it. Like, when I write reviews, I still look at that, and then it helps me be as a musician as well. So I wanted to know, what is it you take from childhood that you still do today?
I think, really, ever since childhood, my parents, at least my dad, would allow me to set up the drum kit in the house. Of course, that's a loud instrument, but I set up the drum kit in the house. He would play, like, a lot of old records on his record player, and I would just, like, lay into the pocket. That's just mainly what I would do. And really, the biggest tool I would say is that I've always been a very avid listener, just in general, of music. And I feel like when you truly listen to music and listen to the elements all around, it changes the way that you approach your instrument, whatever instrument you play. That's often times where I get, like, frustrated with people who overplay because they're not allowing the music to breathe and all the elements to have its own space. So I feel like that element from when I was younger really played a part into who I am now and who I am as a musician.
Great. I have so many questions. I'll let EB get his in, but I have, like, multiple. So we're going to try to run through these before we go to break. And
it's all good.
Okay. Because I have a whole lot. Okay, in terms of that, I'm trying to figure out how I want to frame this. I remember, I guess I could start with, is a, you know, jazz musician, Sonny Rollins, right?
Yep.
He
I'm not that familiar with the stuff.
Right. He did an interview not too often, and I remember reading the transcript of it, and he was saying how yoga and spirituality, I guess mostly yoga, he's been doing it for like 40 plus years, and how it helped, meditation helped center, basically helped him focus as a musician. And I connected with it because I'm like, yo, that was it, because I remember being a period to where I was like heavily like meditating a lot, because I'm like super, like, I think I have undiagnosed ADD because my mind is always over the place. That's why I think I play multiple instruments, because I can't make up my mind. what I want to play. And so it really helped me focus. So I wanted to know, like, is it, do you relate to that in any way in terms of, like, any kind of spirituality that you're into helping you focus with music?
Most definitely. I would say Christianity is where I'm at as far as spirituality. And also, you know, mostly every time that I play, especially in front of an audience, I say a prayer. I pray that I'm used as a vessel to minister to people's souls, that, you know, through my playing, that they do not see me, that they see God, and that they see the wonders of his work through me. So therefore, I have to, like, die to myself and play unselfishly and really think about where God wants me to be and what part I play in shifting people's energy. Because music itself is just such a powerful tool, even if you relate back to the Bible and its main purpose. Like, it's so powerful that, you know, Satan was the angel of music, and he still uses music as a tool to, like, entrap people, you know. So I feel like we as musicians have such a big responsibility over people's moods, over people's actions, that we don't take seriously enough, you know.
Yeah, I 100% get that all the way. I wanted to know, with how many instruments do you play? Do you just play the drums, or?
Oh, I play guitar, bass, and keys as well. But drums was, like, the main thing I started playing.
Wow.
So I relate to you. I have a bit of ADD, too. I think most of you just have ADD, to be real.
Yeah, because I can't make a... Because I just now transitioned back to playing the drums, like you said, because I was playing the piano for, like, a smooth 6 years, and then it was, like... I learned how to play the drums first. But then when I started... I just randomly got... It's, like, a long story. I'm not going to bore you with that, but... I just recently, the past 3-4 years, I've transitioned back to drugs, but now I want to play the bass. I'm learning the bass now, so I want to do that. So I'm all over the place. So I wanted to know, what's your musical taste?
My musical taste, it's definitely, I would say, on the organic side, but I grew up on a lot of funk, a lot of rock, and a lot of funk. A lot of stuff is just... like drum heavy stuff, you know. Like, I love hip hop. I love all types of music, but I would say that funk really does something to me.
Man, you're like in my head, because I was, and I guess that would be another question. It was like, I think for me, what was that moment for you, like when you knew, okay, I got this? Because I didn't start feel comfortable. I think it was something about the 10-year mark, because this is like 10 years since I've been playing professionally, and I think that I don't think I've ever been comfortable calling myself a musician, and I think I was just always in the process of learning and just being a student of music, so I never was, even with getting a check, that never mattered to me. It was just about, like, how I was progressing. So I wanted to know, like, how did you progress and finally, like, yo, I'm, like, comfortable saying I'm a musician and this is my style, and with learning... what your style was, you don't have to say what age it was, but are you comfortable with, like, saying, I'm this kind of musician?
Yeah, I had to really find my voice in that aspect during college, because going to a prestigious school like Berklee, you have people from all over the world, and they play all different types of things. And, you know, before I went to college, I had only played at church. That was, like, really all I knew. And I played some in my high school band. But, you know, I went to college, and it was somewhat of a culture shock when I went there, and everybody already had the real book memorized, and they already, like, had been playing in churches, but had all these gospel chops and all that stuff like that. It was, like, really intimidating. Also, me being a female, it was just, like, everybody already had an expectation of me, like, not being that good, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, because I felt like if I didn't do that stuff, then I wouldn't be respected amongst the musicians. But when I really thought to myself, and I went to those shed sessions where people would just, like, chop for hours, I realized I don't even like this. I don't know why I'm trying so hard to fit into a mold that was not even meant for me to be in. So when I finally just started to accept the music that I personally liked and just play what was true to me, people started to actually give me the respect that I was craving. So I
100% relate to that. Oh, man. Yeah, and you said you're on the funk wave, because that's, I think that's, it just, diving deep into that, and like I would just get obsessed with like Funkadelic. I would go from their first solid. I feel like their first two albums was like the solid ones that I just like constantly kept replaying. And then I would get into like Charles Bradley and Bob Marley. And then I would just get into like randomly just different rhythm sections, and that's what I started learning. But I guess we could go to break real quick, and then EB can ask you some questions. That, but yeah, I have a whole lot. This this ain't even close to how many I have. But I'm gonna try to shorten it a little bit. But if Will's ready, we can go to break, and we're playing all songs with the greatest drum arrangements throughout the show. So these are me and EB picked our favorites. So y'all get into the shocker here real quick.
Hey.
Real good. Man, that rhythm section is dope. Welcome back to the Soul Savage Show with your hosts, Q-Lynn Green and EB, and special guest, Taylor Gordon, a.k.a. the Pocket Queen.
Man, that joint right there. Oh, my God. That drum, oh, my God. You don't know how much I used to obsess over playing that. Like, I used to have dreams about that drum pattern. Like, it was just, I remember just, like, being obsessed with that because it's like the, I think it was, I want to, because I'm like an album credit nerd, so I think it was on bass. I think the main thing in that song was, like, the bass and the drums. And I think it was, dang, I can't think of the bass player, but I think his name is Anthony Johnson. I want to say Johnson. Anthony Jackson it was from the What You Gonna Do For Me album.
Oh,
I think it was Anthony Jackson. I know the drummer. It was Steve Ferron. I know the drummer all day. I used to, like, and I'm a nerd, too, because I want to find that snare. I want a snare that sounds just like that. If he's auctioning that off, I want it. But I digress. But, yeah, that song right there is, like, the best drum pattern to me. But, yeah, I was going to ask my little few questions and then pass it to EB. I was going to ask, like you said before, I'm so glad you said that because it's like, it's so many, like, to me, again, this is I will get to it when we get to the updates, but a lot of people mad at me because they feel like I'm taking shots at church musicians. But I feel like this majority of them, they transitioned from doing church functions to doing like venues. I don't like saying secular because that's, I feel like so past tense. I don't like saying that, but when they transition to doing like R&B or whatever music they call worldly, it's like they take that same energy from church, like, because there you can get away with doing all that extra stuff, but you can't do that if you'll get fired. Like, a lot of them don't know, you'll get fired like doing that if you take a solo when you're not supposed to, and they don't get that. And then they think that, and then I don't think for you, when I watch your videos, I feel like you're doing it to get views. I just feel like people understand the passion, they get the passion, and they see it, and they're like, and it's just like a chain effect of like so many people looking at it because they love like that pocket, like the pocket wins over everything. Like, and it's, I know a lot of people like the chops and all that extra stuff, but I feel like that's just for musicians. That's my opinion. I feel like most of the people that do all of that, I'm like, what's the purpose? Like, I feel like if you're not getting an endorsement, like if you're not endorsing some kind of drumsticks or some instrument company, I don't feel like it's necessary to do that, like all the extra stuff, because you're not going to get a gig doing that. What do you feel about that? Because I feel like I'd be by myself thinking about that.
No, you're definitely correct. I feel like the key to pocket, I would say, is just like knowing when things are appropriate. You know, it's not really like, I would say, because as a drummer who plays pocket, there are some times, well, you gotta pull out the chops. You know, there's like certain parts where, you know, in the show that really need it to keep the energy driving. It's about like being conscious of the musical energy and the progression of it and the climax of the show and when things die down. As long as you're like conscious of that, as long as you're musical, I would say musicality trumps really everything. Like, because I feel like even with sometimes with being in the pocket, it's just about being, it's about dynamics, it's about being musical. I feel like that, when you are to the point where you can know a song to a T, but at the same time add a musical dynamic to it, you're at a place where you can not only have a gig, but keep it for a very long time because it kind of makes you hard to replace.
Exactly. You're hitting on everything. You're saying everything that I'll be thinking, but I just say it like bluntly to the point. And so I think I'm just too aggressive with it when I say it. But it's like I'm taking shots at them. With EB, I got more. So I feel the heathen coming up. So I'm going to throw the EB before I throw my last little question. Go ahead, EB.
All right. So I'm going to go back a little bit. So one of the things that you did that I love is you did the Road to Chop. So for the people who don't know what that is, could you tell them what that is? And then I want to know what inspired you to do that.
That's such an old school jam for me. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, while I was in college, it sort of speaks to me getting to college and everybody doing gospel chops. And I didn't really understand it or really understand how to fluently, like, make my ideas just go into a long, big chop. And, you know, there was this habit that I noticed of students at Berkeley. They would just, like, hide in the practice room and just shed and try and get better and just not allow people to see their progression. And I think it was kind of like a testament to showing people around the campus that, you know, okay, I don't know how to do this, and that's fine. It's okay that I don't know how to do something, but I'm going to learn. And for all the people who are also don't know how to do this, you can learn with me. So it was just kind of in that light, I started posting those videos. And that started to catch on for a little bit. I was getting little people featured in the in my series. I even got requests to start that back up again, but it's been a little harder. I don't know why. But I think I'm gonna start doing it again soon.
I mean, I think it's great. I think a lot of the great, you know, when you talk about musicians, you talk about singers, you talk about actors, any artist who is starting out, when they become great, they often don't have that archive footage to look back on where they kind of chronicled how they became, you know, one of the greats. So you're doing that. I love that idea. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I kind of at first grew kind of frustrated with that too, because I felt like I was doing it and it would only peak at like a certain amount of people like watching it. And so I started to feel like, oh, well, maybe nobody's like watching anymore. And also, right, it was kind of because I had just graduated college and I kind of wanted to get out of the swing of posting videos and get more to the swing of, like, you know, doing the gigs and making money. So it kind of, the gigs, and also I'm a producer-songwriter because I'm signed to APG Warner Chappell as a producer. So it took up a lot of my time being in the studios and playing gigs. I just didn't have the time anymore or the space to play drums and put out videos the way I used to, at the volume that I used to. But recently I just got really intentional about starting up again, so I got a lockout space and started doing it again, so it might be the revival.
That's amazing. And as do you find it as a woman, you know, in the music industry, in the business, do you find that you face different challenges or more challenges than men who are drummers or bassists or who are even producers? Do you find that you face more challenges trying to, you know, break into that business?
You know, I think I guess it depends on my outlook. I try to look at it more as a leg up. You know, I try to use everything that God has given me as somewhat of an advantage, because it only turns into a disadvantage if you look at it that way. But there are frustrating points, especially when tours are being chosen that you know that they're either looking for an all-female band or they're looking for an all-male band. Like, I often grow frustrated sometimes with the fact that I know if I'm getting hired for gigs, chances are it's an all-female band. Not that I am against all-female bands, but I feel like, why do I have to be categorized, you know what I'm saying, into this plan?
Right, exactly.
I don't think it should be that way.
Yeah, I relate to that 100%, because it was like, I feel like I went through a period to where it was just that. I'm like, why is it all just that? And it would be like, they'll send out like emails saying, oh, we need all female band, we need this, we need that. I'm like, why does it have to be all that? And then it's like, sometimes, I don't know, I never reflect on it, like you said, like that. I always looked at it from a different angle. I just always try to be punctual and on time, and that's how I always looked at it. I like, not necessarily working harder, but just making sure that I showed up when I was supposed to and did everything I was supposed to, making sure I was just there. Because most of the time, like, if you're doing the most, like, if it's a backing musician that's locally there, most of the time they'll, like, flake on that gig. And that was mostly the gigs when I really started getting a foot, was there was a lot of, like, musicians, like, flaking on a gig. And then it would be like, hey, can you come? And then I would just do a bunch of those. And then I think most of it was, do you ever get, irritated with ones when I don't necessarily want to say it's all music purists, but it's like, they want you to play it just like, I feel like Pocket is, this is how I define it. I feel like Pocket is absolutely playing it like the record, but I'm also going to put my own twist to it. Like, I'm not going to, like, make a replica of what I'm hearing. I'm going to, because sometimes I got to a point when I was studying music, it was just like, you know what, I can do this. I would not necessarily like rearrange the whole thing, but if I heard a certain chord, if I heard a certain drum pattern in my head, I would flip it a little bit. Do you look at it like that? Because I don't necessarily like, because there's music purists that get mad at people that if they don't play it just like the record. And I'm like, I don't feel like, because most of the time, I think, most of them, like, especially funk music, I feel like that mixed with, I think, reggae, all of that was, like, off the shoot anyway, I think. Because, like, you can't tell me, like, listening to, like, Rufus, like, they, like, when they got to certain bridges, like, they wouldn't just, like, make it up. Because I know for the JB's, Clyde Stubblefield, he did the Funky Drummer, like, he said he was just messing around, and he didn't even remember playing it. Like, so it's like, you hear that versus a music purist, and I'm like, what do you think of that? Because I feel like pocket is just what you make of it, but, like, staying with the record, but also, like, doing it your own kind of way.
Yeah, it depends on the purpose for me. I feel like, you know, for example, if I'm hired for a tour to play for an artist, I'm going to do whatever they want me to do so I can get the check. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just really, like,
right, exactly. Main
focus. That's the main focus there. If you want me to, like, only play one note, that's what I'm doing. You want me to play, like, a whole bunch, that's what I'm doing. I try to keep, like, all of my, like, artistry, like, separate from that because they're paying me for the purpose of me doing a service that they want me to do, and that's what I'm there for. When it comes to people, like, saying, okay, like, but, you know, I'm just, like, really, when I'm hired for something, I just do what the job is telling me to do. But, yeah, for my own stuff, when it comes to, like, playing to records, I do like to have my own interpretations of stuff and put my own spin on things.
Yeah, that's what mostly I was talking about, because a gig, oh, yeah, absolutely. Whatever they want me to do, I'll do, especially if it's a singer I respect or whoever is the indie that I respect, I'll absolutely follow whatever it is. But I like listening to, like, hearing the makings of some records, like with D'Angelo, I heard that, like, he let the Vanguard, when I was hearing about the makings of that, like, he would have, like, whatever it was he had wrote for how he wanted it to go, like the structure of the song, but most of it was just however, like, Pino Palladino, one of my favorite bass players, like, that's all him, like, all of his adding, he's just adding on to whatever it was that he wrote in Questlove or Cat Daddy Dave, like, whatever it was they're doing, like, that's all them, like, their interpretation. So I love, like, hearing stories like that, like, hearing, like, how they, like, give you room to, like, do your own thing. And that's more of I'm on, because I'm kind of a rebel, if people can't listen or whatever, so I don't like playing for, that's why I kind of fell back a little bit from, like, doing certain gigs, and I want to be an MD, that's what I'm aspiring to doing, like, music director, because I feel like I could talk to singers and musicians and the sound engineers, because I feel like I can, like, communicate with all of them, but I don't like playing for other people, I don't like being instructed to do something, so. I'm a little bit of a rebel when it comes to that. I don't like being told what to do, so I think that's mostly my energy with it. But, I'm going to do it. We're going to get here. We're almost done with this interview, but I'm going to get to the heathen part. Okay, it's this thing I'm trying to get started, this musician versus singer beef. I'm trying to get this started. Okay, people don't know about this. Like, this is, like, real situations, like, where I don't feel like, mostly I think musicians and singers communicate on a whole different level. Like, musicians, like, we don't even need words most of the time. It's like we'll, like, hum a part to, like we'll, like, harmonize or put the melody in, and we connect like that. Singers, like, they do extra stuff. So I'm kind of getting you into this. Okay, I won't say you could call out any names, because I ain't trying to mess up the Taylor Gordon brand. I'm not going to do that. But what I will say is, have you had any kind of experience to where it was like a singer to where you had to look like, just like side eye them a little bit during rehearsal? Like, what's going on? Like, what you doing right now? Like, if they, like, they'll like try to instruct you, but they don't know like the lyrics. They come to rehearsal not knowing, the notes or anything like that. Like, have you ever like seen like somebody with like that kind of arrogance in rehearsals? Like, any kind of, any of that energy?
Yeah, that's a common tale especially sometimes for when singers become underprepared themselves. That's true. I do think, I think the most irritating one that I have run across that singers do often is like when they try and like pick up the speed of a song, and then everybody looks at you. You know, say so they look at the drummer, but
right.
What people also need to understand is like we are all kind of carrying the tempo. I'm going with you. This is going to sound crazy. If, you know, I'm speeding up and y'all are still lagging, but, you know, you got to keep those expectations up. Because as singers like to drag behind the beat. And I get the whole feel thing, but sometimes they drag, like, way too much behind the beat to the point where it just don't even sound right no more. And you feel like you got to slow down a little bit. So,
yeah.
We speak different languages, and we just got to find a common ground for communication. It's crazy.
That's all it is communication. That's what I'm telling you, EB. I promise you, this is the thing. That's what I'm saying. We'll get this. I want y'all to just get a group of musicians and singers on. We just gonna hash this out. And, cause it's a real thing. Like, this is like decades upon decades of stuff. Like, beyond James Brown, like, and how he used to instruct his band. It's like real issues. Not even like money per se. I'm talking about in terms of the ability. And once again, I think it's mostly the church musicians, because everybody else, I don't get that energy from that's been doing it for so long, that's done studio work and done touring and backing, that's been out on the road. It's mostly the church musicians, because Karen White was on and she said that. You remember she said that, E.B., when she was like, she was background singer, and they were giving them, they were like under 25, like giving her shade. Like, I'm like, this is a legend. Like, who being disrespectful? And they trying to tell her, like, looking at her like she don't know her notes. But yeah, I'm gonna get off that a little bit, cause I'm getting a little worked up, cause I'll start airing out all kind of crazy stuff with singers. Especially that thing of not knowing, like, notes and stuff, and then you trying to critique me? No, we're not doing that. Like, you don't even know how to do 3-part harmony. How you gonna try to critique us? Like, focus on your notes. I'm just saying. But we're gonna play this game real quick and we're gonna let you go. Yeah, you don't have to get all the way into my, but you dropped a whole lot of science right there. Cause a lot of, is, man, that's a big thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we're gonna play this game. I guess maybe you could throw out one. I could do the full thing, so we can let her go. It's basically an either or game. It's called the What's Wrong With You game. I make up the rules as I go. That's just how I do it. And so it's not necessarily based on vocal comparisons. It's mostly music catalog. So just focus on that music catalog. It's not vocal comparisons. So we're going to start the game. Okay, the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
There we go. You're talking right. Next one, The Whispers or The OJs?
The OJs.
There we go. That was a trick question, because you go either way on that one. Sometimes, that's like I said, I make up the rules as I go, so it's bonuses along the way. It's a little tricky in there.
This game is rigged.
Some of them are trick questions. No, it's not, Will, and I'm about to find his mute button if you keep jumping in on that. Okay, sir? Keep that to yourself. Thank you. All right, the next one. The next one is Prince or Rick James?
Prince.
There we go. That's a trick question as well. You can go either way on that one. Cause they were both on the same level musicality wise. So that's why I said that's a bonus. Okay. This is where we start cooking right here. We start cooking right here. These are the hard ones now. Now these are not either or. You gotta pick, you know, one. Okay. Here we go. This is specifically to Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller? Yeah.
Off the Wall.
There we go. You talking right. What? Louis Johnson on that bass? Even though he was on Thriller too, but he is funk, all Rod Temperton. But Rod Temperton was the melody.
Production.
Louis Johnson was the illest on Get On The Floor. Okay. I'm getting off topic, getting excited to think about Louis Johnson. Okay. The next one. Patty or Aretha?
Aretha.
That's
oh
right.
My.
That's right, Taylor. That's right. That's what I wanted to hear right there. That's what I wanted to hear.
Man, we got to do like a split decision or something on this one, because I didn't know this was like such a, like, either or one. I thought everybody was Team Patty. I guess we got to rearrange the rules or something, EB, because that, usually you get a what's wrong with you on that one, but I might start putting that in a bonus. But you got to explain, give me the reasoning behind it before I decide.
All the rolling on the floor and stuff Patty be doing, and the
Yodeling.
Yeah.
Oh, my
okay,
God.
Patty. Somebody pick her up off the floor. You're going to be all right with me, you know.
Oh, man. You going
like
to hit it with that?
Like
no, yeah, you don't need to hit it. No. Okay, just for that, you get a what's wrong with you on that one. I was going to give you a negative 20 points on that one and let it slide. But you going to come on here and throw the shade? No. We got to do the what's wrong with you on that one.
The game is
what's
rigged.
What's wrong with you?
The game is rigged.
Taylor, no, it's not rigged. You get what's wrong with you. Okay, we'll go to the next one because you threw me off with the yoga one. What? Okay, we're gonna go past it. Okay. The next one, Brian McKnight or Babyface?
Babyface.
There we go. You're talking right. But we weren't even talking about vocal. Okay. Let's go back to Patty and Aretha, because I didn't say vocals. Music catalog-wise.
Oh, boy.
Who are you going with, Patty or Aretha?
Aretha. I'm just saying. Aretha, R-E-S-P-C-T, respect, and you got the remake of Bridge Over Troubled Water.
Come on.
Even
this come
one,
on.
A Rose is Still a Rose. Like, it's just
come
too
on.
Much.
What? Like, listen to Patty. Patty make you fall in love with Need You, Want You. What? That's the joint. I got a new attitude.
No,
she got the joint.
Too much.
Right.
Like, I got a new attitude. Like,
that's no, that's perfect. Oh, my God.
What's happening in the Something Possible?
Taylor, you
this
are.
This is like.
You are doing amazing.
I just want to let you know, EB is the only one of. EB is loving this. Because he's
it.
Had a consistent Aretha pick every show, so he's excited
this
about
is
this.
Amazing.
Okay,
amazing.
Okay, this is the last one. This is the bonus one right here. Let's see. Okay, since you're a musician, I'm gonna throw this one out here: Earth, Wind, and Fire, or Ohio Players.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There we go. That's a bonus as well. If you would say either or, that would have been. Perfect, because
yeah,
Ohio Players came first, so Earth, Wind, and Fire was kind of resembling them, because Ohio Players came out first, and they were kind of on that wave a little bit, but yeah. Okay,
yeah,
I'll determine nothing. Okay, we'll make the Patty Aretha one a split decision, because this is, you know.
It's real.
You know, it could go either way. No, it's not real. No, it's not. Okay. Eb, you got one? Before she goes, you got one.
I'm gonna throw one out real quick. Stephanie Mills or Anita Baker.
Ooh,
that's
a hard one.
Rough one. If we talking catalog, I'm gonna have to go with Anita.
Yeah, that's a bonus. I would have accepted either answer for that one.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know about you, EB, but I conclude there's nothing wrong with Taylor. I don't know. That Patty would kind of hurt my feelings because
no.
She said she was yodeling. I don't know about that.
I know there's nothing wrong with Taylor. I know there's nothing wrong with her.
Okay, nothing's wrong with Taylor. You hitting all of it. You won the game. Thank you for coming on. What is it that we should be looking out for? I know we're going to look for some more videos because you be killing it. And I know they popping. Your social media game is popping. Out here in these streets, because I know they hitting you up wanting them covers. So what else you got for them? Projects you working on?
I got some cool stuff coming. I just got endorsed by this company called Sensory Percussion by Sunhouse, and they got
I heard of them. That's dope.
Yeah, they got me some pieces for my drums, and they just sent me a whole bunch of stems of stuff that it's like cut up. I want to start DJing. With the drums, so I kind of want to take my love for production and my love for drumming and kind of mess the two worlds together. So that's what's next in the works. I was getting my website set up. Pop me on and pop in.
You out here popping. Now, the business girl inside of me is out, like, get them pocket queen shirts popping in there. So when you get them gigs doing your DJing with the drums, you can sell them shirts out there. I'm just throwing that little that business game out there. They don't know nothing about that. Just get the pocket queen merchandise popping out here, the wristband. Get whatever you're trying to get, wristbands, T-shirts, everything. And your style game is on point, everything. So you get all kind of merchandising going on. Well, I'm just saying, I love you on here. I'm glad you came on, spitting all this great knowledge to the people. We have a lot of musicians, singers that tune in, so I know they're going to enjoy this one. Just thank you so much for coming on. I love the fact you came on and just gave the real. And you're the pocket queen. Y'all put some respect and reverence right now on the pocket
queen. Put some respect on that woman name.
Thank you. Put some respect on the name because she out here popping in these streets.
Put some respect on my name.
Put some respect on it. And we ain't gonna say it no more. Thank you so much for coming on. I appreciate
you.
It. It's been a blast.
Thank you so much. Can't wait to do it again.
I know, right? We're gonna get you back on so we get the musician versus singer thing going on. Get some heat up. I ain't trying to mess up the church's money, but I'm just saying. We're gonna get a part two going, but thank you so much.
All right, thank you guys.
Yeah, Will, if you want to, if you ready, we got so much to talk about. Oh, my God. I feel like we're going to spend a whole show talking about the news topics. I know EB got one, but we're going to try to fit that in there. But if Will's ready, we could go to break, hit y'all with the back-to-back. And we'll get into the savvy and heat the news.
Well, you can do the butterfly and the twisty roll, but you niggas straight sprung off the way I stroll. I don't want it. You know the whole 120 and a plus degree, but can't keep your guy up off his knees. I don't want it. Got 95 and 60, but your nigga told me to work again. I don't want it.
Thank you.
Welcome back to our audience across the universe and around the globe. This is the Soul Savage Show with EB and Q Lynn Green. EB, Q Lynn, take it away.
She's still jamming. That's my joint right there.
I understand that.
Hey, Q-Lin, Gino Palladino is the illest bass player in the world. Y'all need to put some respect and reverence on his name because he's a legend. He's a part of the Vanguard, D'Angelo's band on Black Messiah, and he kills like every record on there. So y'all need to put some respect on his name because he killed that and had that. Wait, no, that was Questlove on that one. Questlove was killing.
Right. Q-Lin, may I make a PSA, public service announcement, please, to our audience around the globe? And I must put in this disclaimer, and they must know that What's Wrong With You game is just like the Electoral College. It's rigged.
You know what? What we're going to do is, I need to find the mute button. That's what I need to find. So you can stop throwing that out there. In front of the guests, in front of company, every time we got company on now, and you acting up already. And I saw that little post you made earlier on one of the comments. I didn't even.
You didn't respond.
Responded to it because it was so disrespectful. I'm not even going to acknowledge it now because you still want to be on this Prince versus MJ, and we ain't going to do this in front of company again. You've been doing this every week in front of company. We ain't going to do this. You acted up in front of company and we ain't go out. This is a special guest. Y'all should know her by now since she's been on, I think it's her third time coming on. I could be wrong. Third or fourth time coming on. But y'all know who it is. Entertainment journalist Tiffany. What you doing? What you up to? Tiffany Howard. What you up to?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good. We trying to ignore the disrespect. That's all I'm doing is ignoring the disrespect.
There's no disrespect.
He wants to cut part 4, 5, 6 of this Prince versus Michael Jackson, and this stops. I already told you, we done with this, so we not acknowledging this anymore. I want to know what Tiffany's getting into, so we just go, as soon as I find this mute button, we going to mute Will, and we just going to get into the show.
You can't
so
help.
I want to know what you been up. Well, where's the mute button at? Because we about to find it in it.
You can't handle the truth.
Seconds, I'm about to find it.
You can't handle the truth.
You know what EB, did you see what he said on there on Facebook? Did you see what he said on there?
No, I must have missed it. What did he say?
He said that Michael Jackson was first string and that Prince rode the bench.
Yep. Sure did.
All levels of disrespectful. We not even going like, you know what? I shouldn't even acknowledge it. I should have kept going. Tiffany, like I said, we're going to move on and we just going to skip past him. We're going to Eurostep past Will real quick. What have you been up to, Tiffany?
Grinded it out. Y'all know how I do. I recently started co-hosting a new live talk show that's on a social media based. So we stream live every Monday, but it's called The Sip. So that's my latest venture that I've been on is in addition to all the other stuff I've been doing.
Oh, that's what's up. It's on what's the main? You said it's a talk show on Facebook. It's on Facebook or is it on every social media?
It's on every social media platform. So we stream live Monday at 8. And from the page is actually called The Sip. So you can log on there and you'll see, it's myself, Michael Brandon Harris, Cindy, Shatoya Lafitte, and HFR Cooper. So we're all just, on there keeping it real about what's going on, things like that. It's pretty dope.
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna check it out as soon as we get off here. I'm gonna look it up. It's called The Sip, THESIP. That
correct?
Like that? Cool. I'm gonna check it out. Y'all listeners, y'all check that out. The Sip. Y'all go on social media. Y'all be on there. Y'all got your phones out. Matter of fact, since we're talking about it, make sure if y'all on this app right now, tell your cousins, your aunties, your step brothers and sisters, uncles, your drunk uncles, drunk aunties, whoever, if you got this, your phone in front of you, all you got to do is go and share this. You go to the Soul Savage page, you go to EB's page, or you go to the Studio W page on all social media and share this show, the IMG2 app. I know y'all getting comfortable with me posting it up like a podcast on the website. I need y'all to download that IMG2 app. Because some days I don't feel like, it might be one day I don't feel like uploading it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, if y'all download the app and catch the show live. I know people have been advertising this show as a podcast. That's cool, but this is live radio. Sometimes.
Live people.
Yeah, the most of the time, if I'm posting it on the website, it's because we have guests on. If there's not any guests on, I'm not posting it off. And we've been had back-to-back guests on. So that's why you're getting it so frequently. But it's going to be some shows you're not going to get. So y'all got to download that app, share it with your cousins. If y'all at work, you can listen to it at work. You can listen to it while you're in the car going to the gym. If you're going to go to Applebee's, get that dollar margarita. Like we did earlier today, got the multiple margaritas popping out here in these streets, you know what I'm saying? You get all kind of lit out here under $20, you get what I'm saying? So, got to listen to it on the way to the bar, you listen to it on the way to church. If you do that, if y'all got some revival or something going, go ahead and put this on, you know what I'm saying? You can do that, you know? I know I'm a heathen, but, you know, you can still listen to it on the way there. We still dropping gems out here. You can listen to it at church. If you are at your job, try on the ING2 app. Go to your job. If you in a cubicle next to somebody you don't want to listen to, put some headphones. If you part of the headphones over human gang, put your earbuds in and just for 2 hours and you get through your little work schedule. You know what I mean? Even share it with the coworker you don't like. You can do that. I know some people are talking to coworkers. It's like a non-coworker talking. A lot of people part of that. But
don't talk.
Share it.
That's straight
me. Share it with the coworker you don't like. Share this show with the people you don't like looking at. Like, look, just listen. And then it'll get them out of your hair. Just turn it on the IMG. Wait, no, don't do that, because then they might want to invade your privacy and say, hey, did you listen to the Soul Savage radio show? And you like, can we enjoy it in peace? So, okay. X out that idea, but still, you can listen to it at work, you listen to it on the way to the gym, wherever you are, you can listen to it in the car, wherever. Just download that app, ING2. So, we're going to get off this because we run out of time. I'm sitting here going on a tangent. Oh no, we got the updates, we got so many emails. Okay, we're going to go through this quickly because we have so much news topics to talk about. Okay, we have some for Tiffany, we're going to pull these up. Somebody said, they had a question about the show. I think I'm going back a little bit. Oh, yeah, and by the way, if you want me to say your name or not, put that in the email when you send it to me, because sometimes I want to say y'all name, but y'all haven't gave me clearance to say it, so I'm not going to do that. So for future reference, if you want me to say your name, put it in the email you want me to say it. If not, it's just going to be all anonymous, because I don't want y'all to get in trouble. If y'all say something, it might get in trouble. Y'all ain't hold me accountable to it. So, if y'all send in relationship questions, if y'all here got the side piece wife like Kevin Hart, don't put me in that.
Damn.
Because we ain't responsible for it. Okay? Get your little, what do you call it, ribs? Somebody said, they said ribs come with two sides or something. I thought that was hilarious. That was the funniest thing I ever heard. They said like it comes with two sides. That's hilarious. But anyway, yeah, if you want in an email, if you don't want us to say your name, say that in the email. But this email I just pulled up for Tiffany, it says they wanted to know in terms of the, when we were talking about the whole Bobby Valentino situation, they wanted to know did they think I was, they tried to be slick about saying it, but they were trying to say did you feel like I was being a little bit combative with you on that when we were talking about the transgender situation.
No, not at all. I mean, I thought me and you were on a lot of the same points, so I definitely didn't feel like it was combative at all. I mean, we both were low key saying, you know, I mean, if you gonna do it, but old girl was wrong for blasting him like that. I mean, that should have been private, but you know, it is what it is.
I think they heard. I think we were talking about it for so long. I think they thought we were like arguing for a minute, but we weren't arguing. I think because I talk loud. I think that's why. I guess I gotta bring it down a little bit, because y'all think
I'm just
raging. Y'all think I'm just like some raging crazy person. Like after the show, I'm like,
yep.
Right, they try to make me feel like the heathen of the show. You, I'm like, I understand it.
You are the heathen of this whole network.
This one is related to This was, I'm pulling up an email. This was the one with the Prince versus Michael Jackson show. I can't even say it right because I'm over here lit. But we're going to go past that. Prince versus Michael Jackson, that's what I was trying to say. My tongue is getting tired from this these margaritas. But that's a whole other story. But Prince versus Michael Jackson, they were addressing Haley, everybody. They were wanting to know, like, how do they deal with me? So what kind of question is that? Listen, y'all need to y'all quit sending these emails asking, like, because I'm not like this all the time. This is just on the show. So I have to entertain y'all. This isn't all day, like, me acting, saying crazy stuff. When we did the whole tangent, when we went off on a tangent, when I said the whole thing about Michael Jackson, when I said that when Prince, they quoted Will and said that Prince could learn something from Michael, and they quoted where I said the only thing Michael could teach Prince was about his belt collection for those needles. And
blasphemy.
They like, that's what they said, how do y'all deal with her? That's what it says.
It's very difficult. It's blasphemy.
That's so wrong, though. Like, how you gonna sit there and knock the legend like that, though?
Wait a minute.
I'm not knocking the legend.
Yes.
Listen, Will got me worked up when he said Prince is insane. So anything after that, that's his fault. I'm blaming that whole situation on Will. Because anything after that, what I said, I told y'all when you take me there, I go there and I don't go back. That's what happens with me. When you get on this heathen ride with me, ain't no getting off. So when you accept my heathen ways, you accept every part of it. So you accept all the heathenness that comes with it.
You know Michael is going to
I'm sorry.
You know what? We're not doing this. We're gonna surpass this conversation. The emails. I'm trying to find some more related to Tiffany. Okay, here's one. We're not fixing to do this on the show.
I'm already drinking.
So y'all gonna have my tongue loose out here. Y'all give me flash. I'm getting flashbacks from the Morris Day show. Cause I don't understand how that. The whole conversation started from me talking about being drunk at a Morris Day show, yelling at my friend and cussing him out about Michael Jackson versus Prince. I don't know how this turned into this whole Michael Jackson versus Prince conversation, because I was telling the story about being drunk at a Morris Day show, and it turned into all this. So we're going to surpass all this, because we're not going to do this on this show.
Okay.
Again and again. Okay, this is, I'm pulling up another email for Tiffany. It says, somebody says the reference, the Chris Farley movie, when you said Busta Rhymes, like, guy in the little coat. That's hilarious. I forgot all about that. You said that. That was funny. Oh, they said they liked that reference when he said
medium coat on.
That was another comment. They said, who else have you interviewed? That's another question I just saw.
Let's see. I mean, I've done quite a few. Like I said before, I have Busta, Common, Kanye, Talib Kweli. I mean, I've done quite a few. E-40 was one of the good ones, too. Like, I love talking to E-40. It was for, like, 2 hours. And he was, like, really just kicking a lot of game and a lot of stuff I didn't know. The one that was actually the worst, I could honestly say, was the T.I. But that was in the beginning of his career. So, hopefully,
I've heard a lot of journalists say that back then, I don't think now, but
yeah,
like you
back
said,
then,
like early 2000s, like 2005-ish, 2006-ish, when he's, mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of people say that back then, that's what it was. But, there's some more emails, but yeah, we talk about, I call it heathen news. See, I already told y'all, I'm all the way off right now. It kicked in after we went to break. It like, okay, now it's really here right now. Everything is happening right now. I'm a little bit dazed right now. I'm seeing, 3-4 people right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one person in, and I'm seeing stuff. Okay, I'm gonna get it together. Okay, we talking about, Oh, man, my vision is blurry right now. Okay, we're going to be talking about...
EB, you need to take
we're
over.
We're going to figure it out. We're going to be talking about Savvy... No, it's... damn it, it's flipping my... What's the name of it? The Raggedy People News. That's what I was trying
Raggedy
to say. Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Raggedy People... Okay, words, we're going to get them together. Okay, Raggedy People News, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to this very briefly because we're running out of time. Okay, first up, we're going to talk about, I guess we could talk about this Las Vegas shooting that happened this past week. He killed, I believe, the total 48 or 49 shootings, or is it close to 50?
I think it's 49.
52, right?
You know, it changes.
Say it again.
I think it's 49.
49? Okay. Yeah, it was at a country music festival. Jason, is it Aldean? Is how you pronounce his last name?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a little bit of it when he was singing, and they were showing the shooting from some videos, but I didn't see the whole thing. But yeah, basically I ain't gonna say his name because I don't feel like it's worth saying. But yeah, he basically just was in a hotel room above shooting down at people and killed a lot of people and injured. I know it was way more injured that were killed, but I know it was a lot of, I think at some of these country shows, they have a lot of military presence, like people that were, used to be in the military. A lot of them go to these concerts, so it was a lot of them out there that was helping that knew how to aid and assist and all those things, and you know what I mean? Because they're used to that, I guess, environment, so. I think that helped a lot from, I think a lot of people not being killed, because I think some of them could have died from because I think some of them got shot and they could have like bled out if it wasn't like people there that was like experienced with that. They could have like got killed from the injuries just by that. But yeah. Yeah, he killed himself. Pretty typical news topics. It's a lot of different viewpoints on it. To me, I don't necessarily get numb to it, but it's just like, okay, it's another one. So what are y'all going to do in terms of legislation? And I already know what the answer is. It's the NRA runs the government. So with the Republican side, all that. So we ain't got to get into all that. But I'll just say rest on to the victims and the people that are recovering from it, all the families affected by it. And we're just going to keep going past because we already know when we got like so much savvy news to talk about. And I feel like that's way better than talking about Trump and his BS every week, because he does the same thing every week. Everybody gets in an uproar. He says something crazy, does something crazy. Just now, they can't get the ACA bill terminated. So they're trying to get, there's like deadlines coming up, and so they're trying to like limit all kind of stuff in there. Like it's just a bunch of propaganda to digress Obama's success and everything that he's done. And he's trying to take credit for all the stuff, Obama's done, like with the economy. Like, no, sir, your economy starts now, and it's already saying it's tanking since you've been in there. So,
one thing I would like to say is that there are, contrary to like, to a lot of popular belief, there's a lot of people that's correcting him now. Like, even white folks are tired of him, like, are tired of Trump. They're like, no,
right, exactly.
Like that was Obama. Let's be real. And so that's why he's so hell bent on trying to discredit President Obama, because so many people have been like, no, that wasn't you. You know, like,
right, exactly.
So I think that's hilarious. But I will say this too, because there was some news that had kind of surfaced about the shooting that was saying that a lot of the people that were in attendance were, you know, Trump supporters and low-key racists. Of course, it's a country concert, so probably. But I'm going to ask y'all, does that make you kind of want to put halfway prayers out there? Like, prayers out there, not party family or no?
Oh, Q-Lynn, correction. There were 58 people that were killed.
58. Oh, wow. I think some of them...
No,
some of those were in the hospital. I think they were like undetermined. I think at the time it was 49, and
no.
I think those were like injuries. Were they injuries or was that?
No, that's 58.
So that was a death.
No, there were 58 that were actually killed and over 500 wounded.
Yeah, yeah, I knew it was a lot that were injured, or it could have been a whole lot more killed if they, like I said, cause I know a lot of, I saw reports of them, like, it was one guy that got shot in the leg, and it was actually somebody that had experience in aiding and assisting. I don't know if it was necessarily military. I just remember the story on the news, and they said that he wrapped his leg. He took, I think, a shirt or something and wrapped his leg up, and if he wouldn't, he said, I think they said he lost a whole lot of blood and he could have died if he wouldn't have got to the, I think the guy that was helping him got him to the hospital on time to where he could treat his injuries and all that stuff. But yeah,
right.
I was going to go briefly past all this because, once again, Trump is trash. And once I, like you said, what did you say, Tiffany? What was the question again?
No, I'm
saying. He wants to know if.
I'm saying that,
no, Tiffany wants
that
to know.
Reports have surfaced that, you know, they were some racist, supposed, you know, that concert was full of alt-right and racist people, you know, that were Trump supporters. So it's kind of like, does that make y'all want to give halfway prayers or?
I ain't giving no prayers at all. So that's just me.
You guys are mean.
But, yeah.
That's bad.
No,
yeah, they posted on their Facebook pages, and I was like, oh, well.
Speaking of prayers, go ahead.
I think it's a tragedy anytime there's a loss of life, especially something senseless like this, especially when you have people who are just crazy and just go someplace with the evil intent of harming and killing people. So,
that's right. And let me jump in just one quick second. Let me just say this real quick. EB, you're right. Because do you know there were children that were shot also, and some black people got shot? Some black people like country music too. So, yeah. You're right, EB.
Yeah, it was an Asian person that got shot too.
Right. A bunch of people.
It was a diverse crowd.
You know, no.
Yeah.
You know, people got killed. Let me just say it's, people got killed. And I don't care what color you are. Murder is murder and it's wrong. And so, no. So I can't agree with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that dude's a coward, that did all that, murder. He's just a coward because he killed. That's why I hate when they try to create this narrative of mentally ill and all this stuff when it's a white. I'm not trying to focus so much on that because I'm just focused on all the people that got lost. But it's just, I hate the narrative in the news, the media. They say calling people mentally ill. Like, no, he deliberately like set out to do all this stuff. You're not mentally ill. You're fully capable of doing all this stuff. Whether or not you think that's sane or not is not the question. Like, he deliberately went out and did that stuff, and he had planned his exit, but he didn't plan it strategic enough because the cops were on their way, and that's why he killed himself because he was planning on leaving after he did all that. So. Yeah, and they found out this. It's a lot of different stuff going on. Still investigating to see if he had accomplished and all that stuff. I actually don't even care nothing about that because if they do catch him, I think he did all that by himself. I think because he doesn't have, they're trying to find some kind of connection to him having military training or if it's ISIS, all this other random crap, but he did it and I'm pretty sure he did all that by himself because if he's taking one bag at a time, I think it's, makes sense for him to do that by himself because he can keep going back and getting the bags with the guns in it. Because they were like, how do you get guns past security? I'm like, well, if he's getting like one bag at a time, it's probably not that hard to do that. And he's probably been to that casino. They said he was a hard gambler and all that stuff, so they probably knew him there. So they probably didn't expect him to do all that. But, yeah, he killed himself, so... no response to that coward. Also, the ragged. I was going to mention this, but yeah, George Zimmerman was talking about how he's homeless and depressed now. Like, who cares? Like, good for you. I'm actually cheers to that. I got my drink right here. Cheers to you being homeless and all the bad things
karma's
happening.
Real,
that's what you. That's what you get, and that's what you deserve because you're evil and you feel a wickedness. So, yeah. Oh yeah, when the hurricane was going on Florida, somebody was like, prayers to everybody in Florida except, George Zimmerman. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, F him. Who cares? Like, good. I hope you suffer the rest of your life. That's what you get. That's actually better for you. I hope you depressed and all that stuff. Yes, good for you. Cheers up, dude. Who else we got? Oh yeah, Tina Campbell. You wanna go on that first, EB?
Oh,
and
Tina,
talk about
Tina,
this.
Tina.
Girl.
Tina.
You can go ahead.
So, Tina Campbell, all of a sudden is making her rounds and announcing that she voted for Trump because of his quote-unquote Christian values and all this other nonsense and BS. So she is the raggediest out of all of the raggedy in the Raggedy People News.
The raggediest?
That's why your sister got a career and you don't. Like, this, what are you doing?
Huh?
Just shut up. Like, what are you doing? It's crazy. It's crazy.
She said she was different. I don't initially know where the report, I saw the transcripts of what she said. And she basically said that she voted for Trump for his Christian values. And I already got y'all together. I think Tiffany was on this show when I got y'all Facebook Christians together with this whole foolishness y'all like carrying on with perpetrating as Christians. Y'all read a couple of scriptures. Y'all read with y'all fingers underneath the word. Y'all think y'all know stuff. And you don't. Y'all used to be scared to be called out in school, and now y'all on the internet giving opinions. I don't understand this. But again, she's the poster child for all the Facebook Christians. A lot of them were taken up for Facebook is like where I feel like that's where Satan's helpers are. Like, it's not, like, our cousins are like the worst. I hate everybody on Facebook. Like, I get on there, like, randomly just to post about the show. But other than that, I can't stand it. I just want to let y'all know. Yes, your relative, that relative, the cousin, your auntie, all of them, I can't stand them. Because that's all they do is post scriptures, post Bob, Gandhi quotes, and give they clock out from Wendy's to give they Gandhi, they hood Gandhi wisdoms for the day. Like, how you gonna tell me about life and you ain't got a checking account? I don't understand this. You don't know what stocks and bonds. I don't know how to take financial advice from somebody that clocks in and out of Wendy's. Do you own it? No. So clock back in at a job and leave us alone. But get back to Tina. She's the spokesperson for Facebook Christians, and for her to say to let the word just. And I saw her rebuttal on The Real, I think it was earlier today, I saw it.
Rebuttal.
And I was like, she was very defensive the whole time. She does this whole thing, because I see her on the show. And, I don't know about Facebook, but Twitter definitely hit her up. She got all the mentions. Because when I looked on Twitter, they was like, that's why your husband left you. I saw, or cheated on you. She got all them. She got all them tweets.
Right.
It was a whole lot of them I saw. But
to me,
go
it's
ahead.
Crazy because you're talking about his Christian values. This is the man that talks about grabbing women by the private parts.
That's
this
right.
This is a man that has five children by two different women who has committed adultery and has been unfaithful to girlfriends in the past. This is a man who basically built a platform on hate and division. But what you saw in him was Christian values. That's a lot.
And somebody actually gave me the real on that. They was basically saying that somebody that she was on this gay marriage thing, I guess because Hillary Clinton was for it. That was basically because somebody I know that I follow on Twitter told me that, like, that's what she means by Christian values. I'm like, that's
girl,
like,
you'll get her whole life.
Right, exactly. And I was like, girl, bye. And I saw, like I said, I saw it on The Real. She's very defensive. And she's talking all fast. I'm like, oh, she's talking fast. And I don't say that she don't believe everything she's saying, because I know she believes everything she's saying for a fact. What I'm saying is, girl, you are absolutely loud and wrong on this. You don't know what you're talking about. First of all, you don't know that much about government. And so for you to get on there saying that we put in so much trust in a man instead of God, that ain't got nothing to do with it. The people that are against Trump
don't know that much about God.
Girl, what was you doing? And like, this is like simple, history facts right here. Like, all you gotta do is pay attention in eighth grade, history class, girl. Like, where are you at? Like, you ain't even gotta have a higher education to understand, government, girl. Like, you don't understand how the government works. And you like, if you have problems, she's like, I voted for, and if you got an issue, you need to vote. She's basically saying all kind of random stuff, and basically trying to correlate Christianity with heaven. Say again.
I said she was sounding just like them Trump supporters. I mean, her.
Girl.
She is a Trump supporter.
Wait. Can we just say how great it is that y'all keep referring to her as girl? Like, that is taking me out of here.
Because I can't do it. Like, she's just ridiculous.
Look,
like,
you know, you know that girl is PG because we want to say.
Right, I know what y'all want to say. So that's
we trying to say, I was trying to keep, like I said, I know the extra curricular TV I'm doing right now is kicking in because I want to say what I want to say, but I can't because, like I said, for you Christian folks to get mad, I want to say it so bad, but just to give the respect, just a little bit of respect.
Right.
I'm
hey,
not
going
to say the word, but I want to say something else. But when I was going
to I have an article.
Jumping in, because I'm a little bit inebriated, so I'm going to lose my train of thought. I lose it within 5 seconds. No, go ahead. I'm just making a joke. Go ahead.
Okay, no problem. Okay, I have the article here. As previously reported, during a sit down with The Root, the gospel single divulged her political values, saying Donald Trump's views on Christianity, honesty. Now, please put a line under that. His honesty is what caused me to vote for him. Unsurprisingly, the single was met with backlash from fans and others alike, including Tammy Roman, who blasted her for the controversial. And more recently, Tina stopped by Daytime. She was on the talk. No, she was on the reel. To double down on her statement, said, what I said is if you said during the campaign, appeals to me, and it appealed to my Christian values more than other candidates.
What the article said? What are you talking about? Like, you said the exact same thing the article said. Like, just because you said, like, you add extra words in there, that's exactly what you said. So what you talking about? like you just added extra words in there. That's exactly
I'm reading this directly.
No, I'm saying what her response to that was that article. I'm like, you're saying the exact same thing that article said. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, girl.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Okay. She said that would appeals to her, right? And it appealed to my Christian values more than the other candidates. Speaking of Hillary. And it's just like you were saying, Q-Lan. Okay. She began, when it comes down to it, I choose based on my faith. While it is personal, Singer admits that she doesn't agree with Trump's behavior while in office. She is praying for him, and I do agree what's being done, blah, 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 blah. Do I continue promote and advocate any of that? No, I do not. It just goes on. It's a lot of bull-loney. His Christian values. If he has Christian values, then that's the reason why the churches are empty right now. Okay. Oh yeah. Churches are half empty. Right. And honesty. Hey, this is the guy that cheated when he built the Taj Mahal in Atlanta City. He hired undocumented workers from Poland and promised to pay them $5 an hour. And then he cheated them and he went bankrupt. He ran so many people out of business. And guess what? He talked about making America great again. He built that building with Chinese steel. Come on, man.
Man, Tina need to get out of here with this talking about that we need to not push. Like, that's not what that is. It's two separate things you're talking about. What you're doing is when you voted for him, you're talking about Christian. He hasn't elicited anything that resembles a Christian. Like he said, somebody asked him about the Bible. He said, oh, yeah, that's a good book. Like, really? And he referenced the Second Corinthians as 2 Corinthians. Like, now I know you don't read the Bible, because who calls Second Corinthians 2 Corinthians? Nobody. So where are you getting this Christian values from? Like, that's what I'm saying about the hypocrisy. She's talking about doing all this extra stuff, talking about that we need to, that she's saying that she's not with everything he's doing right now. Then why did you vote for him? Because that's the whole purpose of us not voting for him, is being against everything he stands for. Maybe you need to talk to your pastor friends or somebody that can govern you accordingly what the Bible says. Because like I said before, y'all read stuff and don't know what it means. You know, you're reading comprehension. The Bible is pretty fifth grade education understandable. So I don't understand how some of y'all pick and choose scriptures about certain things. And for you to base your whole idea around gay marriage of that being Christian value. First off,
Sodom and Gomorrah. That I already told y'all that story is about rape. It wasn't about gay people. So that's why I'm saying it was somebody trying to check me on the internet talking about. It was one scripture saying about that that they the soft-hearted won't see the kingdom of heaven, and then the word in there for soft-hearted was Malachi. That's a Greek word. It means well, they were saying that meant gay people won't see the kingdom of heaven. That's how they interpret it. I'm like, do you read? I'm like, I asked them. I was like, do you know what that word means, Malachi? And it's soft-hearted. How does soft-hearted translate to being gay? Because that's not what that word means.
Well, my whole thing is that they're so anti-homosexual. This and third, so then they must not want their choirs to be led because hello, most of the choir directors and church leaders over there be gay. So
and hey, the gay men on their payroll doing their makeup is gay. Just like with Kim Burrell, when she was out there, that video, I already got her together when she was talking about, I saw that video of her, we talked about on the show, she was like saying how, women putting breasts in front of women is a sin or some abomination. I'm like, how you know what gay women do? Cause I didn't know that. I didn't know they put breasts in front of each other, so how you know that?
Right.
I told y'all Kim Burrell's Pornhub is lit. I told y'all that. I told y'all Kim Burrell's Pornhub is lit. She got all the fire bookmarks. I promise you, you look into Kim Burrell's web on her laptop, she got all the bookmarks of Pornhub videos. And they lit. That's what I be saying. Like, it be them that got, you know, the ones that say the most about stuff. Like, it was somebody I knew, like, they was like, oh, you like this? You watch porn or something like that? I'm like, yeah, everybody watches porn. And they was like, oh, that's disgusting. Tell me why that person left their phone open around me. And it was that phone was ringing, and I was trying to silence it because we was at work. This is like way back in the day. And I silenced their phone. And tell me why when the screensaver popped up, it was like two gay men on there. Like, it was a screensaver of two gay men. Like, they were watching porn. They had on pop. Nah, man, we not gonna do this. He said, "Let's say it again so the people can hear you. Say it again, because I think they heard
you." No, I just wanted to. You said it was two gay men on the phone. Was it Eddie Murphy, Johnny Gill? Like, who was on the phone?
Hilarious.
Who was the picture of?
No, it was two gay white men. Right.
Oh.
It was two gay white men on there.
You just want
some clarification.
That's
we
it.
Got you. Yeah, and they had two. This is perfect. That's what I'm saying. It'd be the people that be so against it. They got like the freakiest stuff on their phone. That's what I'm saying. If people thought I was being funny, I was like, yo, I like Kim Burrell, Tina Campbell's her Pornhub might be lit. That's probably why my husband, I ain't gonna go there. Cause I'm already, I almost said something. I ain't gonna say, I'm just gonna say that, she probably got a Pornhub and some stuff going on too. Like with Kim Burrell videos and stuff on her phone.
Let's talk about
we get all off topic.
Wait. Let's talk about Christopher Williams and this Raggedy People news. Y'all heard about
Hilarious. Yeah, I heard that.
Christopher Williams was arrested for shoplifting a pair of $100 headphones.
Man, I thought he was getting gigs doing stuff. He ain't getting checks no more?
No. He's in a play right now that one of my friends is supposed to be going to see him in this weekend. He's traveling right now. So he's
probably a klepto then. Because you know he used to be about it back in the day, they said. So that stuff probably still come up on him sometimes. He probably will get that itch sometimes. That's
crazy.
I'll give y'all this some street stuff. Like most times, like people that's about their life like that, if they don't shake it off all the way, they can like relapse into doing that stuff. It's like addiction. I mean, serious.
You know that
the people that used to be about that, like they still do it.
Yo,
it's like an addiction.
I'm sorry.
He was on like drugs for a while too.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and in his mugshot, he looked like he was still on something. Like, I ain't gonna.
Yo, he be out there with...
See, that's that karma for hitting on Halle Berry.
Well, there she goes.
Now, he told us that it was Wesley Snipes. Don't be talking about my twin, my birthday twin like that. He threw my birthday twin under the bus and said that he's the one that was hitting on her. I don't know if that's factual. It was just always a rumor back in the day.
I mean, y'all know
what
you
have dated. What?
You said what?
I said, I didn't even know that Wesley and Hallie dated. What? And listen, I'm not going to say nothing about Uncle Wesley because he claps back on Twitter and he will roast the shit out you. So
oh, he claps back hard.
Right.
That's my birthday twin right there. That's my dude.
Yeah,
I don't say nothing bad about my birthday twin. So
we love you. We're not going to talk
about it. It was never confirmed, so I'm just saying Christopher Marlboro Williams smoking, he looked like he dabbed. He looked like, nah, he don't do dab, cause he do, look like he do, like I told y'all, them new, 80s crack drugs that white people be on, that's what he looked like he on. Like he on, like meth or something, like he looked like he on them kind of drugs.
It's just sad, cause he's so talented.
Saying.
So talented.
Somebody, Twitter was going in. They were like, am I dreaming? Or something. Like, they was throwing all the jokes out there. I'm like, y'all are terrible. Like, y'all are the worst people. They was like, are you, I think you said something. Didn't you say something about promises or something like that? That was you. I think I saw one of your tweets. Something out there. I thought that was hilarious. They was like, am I dreaming? Really? He doing this? Who else is in Raggedy People News? You said it was a Senate.
Representative Tim Murray.
What'd he do?
He was the Republican representative who was very very anti-abortion. But he got caught through text messages with his mistress. He thought she was urging her to get an abortion.
He wanted to get one but won't get the funding for it. How'd that work? How you gonna ask her to get an abortion but won't get the funding for it? Like, how'd that work out?
I think he resigned last week because of that. I'm pretty sure he resigned.
Good, he should have. Yeah, he needs to be in Raggedy People News for that. Okay, let's skip on to Savvy because I'm tired of talking about these Raggedy People. We did it. We missed, Evie, can you believe it? We skipped two weeks of Raggedy People News.
We did.
No, I think it was one. I think so.
What?
But I don't think we talked. I think it was one. I think last week was the one we didn't do Raggedy People News. Yeah, because I think we did that show with Karen White. I think we did do Raggedy People News for a little bit, but
wasn't it so ugly
when we didn't have so many to talk about? Wasn't it just a great time? And now this week
great
is just
time,
all Raggedy People. But we're gonna talk about Savvy. First off, we're gonna talk about EB for Prez before we start anything off. EB for Prez out here popping. EB was tweeting about Daphne
Maxwell Reed, yeah.
Maxwell Reed, he was hipping y'all on Twitter about all the accomplishments she had. Y'all can check that out. I think you have it on your website, don't you? They can check it out.
It'll be on my website later this week. I didn't put it up yet, but it's
y'all check that out.
Twitter. If not,
look out, it's Twitter thread. Twitter thread, Chops and Gems. I always liked on there. I didn't send that light skin versus dark skin bib favorite. I know everybody's favorite the bib, Janet Huber. I don't want to call her dark skin bib because that's weird. Janet Huber. And she's a Leah. I don't want to claim her. Like, she's brilliant as an actor, but yeah, it was something a little off a little bit. I think after, like, I appreciate what she did on there, but her episodes wasn't that great either. Like, I think the first season and the second season was lit, but, I mean, they all had their moments on there.
The character, I think people look at the actresses, but it was really the character. Vivian Banks, it wasn't a very good character. Like, the first season she was, like, real militant and pro-black this and in your face, and in the second season they tried to make her real sassy and cool. And then by the time Daphne got to the show, it was like, well, you know, make her sweet, like America's Sweetheart, and it was the character. So I think everybody goes. I think it was Janet Huber. I think with Daphne, they both went into the job and did the job. They sold the character.
Yeah, and I loved both of them for what they were. I didn't understand why I was so like pissed against. But yeah, I liked her episodes too. But yeah, I was mad though, like a lot of them didn't know that she was married to Tim Reed. Like, who didn't know that? her last name is Reed. That was so odd. I was like, how did y'all know that?
Like the thread. I started that because I saw so many people saying, yo, I didn't know she was married to Ray from Sister Sister. And I was like, how do people not know they've been married for well over 25
years? How old are y'all, first off? Because who didn't know that? But yeah, EB out here popping in these streets. Shout out to Essence for doing your write-up over
the tweet.
And shout out to Essence for mentioning Soul Savage. That was what's up. Yeah. I was like, I got a lot of traffic that day too. So shout out to them for that.
No, that was dope. And I do want to thank Essence for, because when I was doing the thread, I was busting down some fried goat from this Haitian restaurant. And I'm so glad y'all didn't put that, because I didn't want the world to know I was fat and greedy and eating this, you know, this fried goat. Because I put it in the tweet, but Essence left it off for me. So shout out to Essence.
Yeah, everybody give it up for EB for prayers.
Oh God, we popping out here in these streets. Y'all better catch up and quit getting lost out here. If y'all get lost out here in these streets, cause we out here popping. We doing stuff. He already got his accolades from Questlove and Jimmy Jam. Know who EB for prayers is? Like y'all better catch up. Listen.
Come on. That's right.
Listen, we ain't gonna go to Hollywood on y'all, but wait till we start getting Hollywood on y'all.
Applause.
I don't know what that was. I was like, I know this drink that kicked in, but what's going on?
That was
the last
applause.
Time he did that, I had an edible, so I was like,
I
hold
it.
On.
Oh, man. I love it.
But, yeah, thank you for that applause, the sound effects. We need to get more. But, yeah, don't wait till we start getting
that.
Hollywood on y'all. Y'all better catch us while we come on the come up.
I'm about to be like Kane Jr. in here.
Dig what I'm saying? Without the cocaine, minus the cocaine. We ain't gonna get that. Minus all that. So, yeah, shout out to EB for Prez. So, y'all getting tongue-tied. EB for Prez out here popping in these streets. And what else were you talking about? We got so much to talk about Savvy News. Did y'all watch... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say the Def Jam.
Def Jam. Yeah, that's what I was about to ask you. See, we both on the same thought process. Same page.
Def Comedy Jam.
That's why you're perfect host. There we go. Tiffany and EB, I know you said you were watching it. Did you see it, Tiffany?
Did not get a chance to see it yet.
Oh, man.
It's hilarious. And from what I did see...
It's freaking funny.
The parts I did see was... First of all, why do they have Ezell in the back of all them tall folks? He having to peek over like T5.
Oh, you're talking about at the end. They had a bunch of them. I know. That was random. I don't know why they didn't. But I guess they was like, hey, you got to stay in the back. We got all the famous people in the front. Y'all got to stay in the back. Okay?
They probably
about y'all right now.
But edited them out. They were probably all edited out.
Right. They probably were. They probably had a special segment to where they, like, introduced all the comedians that were on. But they probably, like you said, edited all that out. But what parts did you see, Tiffany?
That part, and then I didn't get a chance to see any other ones. I did see the clip from a couple of Dave Chappelle's jokes, but I didn't get a chance.
Oh, man. Did you see that clip you should have seen that one with Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hughley's part when they were doing that whole part. That's the best part. He, when Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hughley, they was reading the teleprompter, and they was, like, having a hard time reading it. He was like, man, I was drinking backstage. So he was trying to read the teleprompter. And he was like, you know when you was in school and they used to make you sit in a circle. And they said, he was like, they used to make us read out loud. And he's like, every time it would be my turn, all the kids would be like, oh, here he go. And they would just look at him. He was like, ever since then, he's like, I'm not scared to talk to crowds, but it's like, just like a little nervous. And he was like, I read good when I'm by myself. I was dying. That was hilarious. And then he was just like, and he kept like trying to read it. And he was like, it's like all the words are jumping at me right now. And then DL was trying to read it. And he was like, man, I'm on with you all right now. I can't read it. And he was like, they started doing the Schoolhouse Rock song. It was hilarious. Capitol Hill. I forgot how it goes.
They
started singing it. And D.L. was like, he's like, we know that better than the Black National Anthem. Ain't that a bitch? And then they started singing it. I don't even know the words to the Black National Anthem, to be honest.
Singing it. I know it, like, top to bottom. Yo, Cheryl.
I know it a little bit.
Top to bottom. But it was funny because they tried to give the mic to Jesse Williams.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse was like, he don't really sing like that, but he know the words. I mean, I think he's
right.
Lying. And then Joe was sitting next to him, the singer, and they asked Joe to sing it, and Joe was like, nah. And Dave was like, man, Joe, can't you sing about anything else besides, you know?
That was hilarious. That was the best part. I was dying laughing when he said it. He was like, Joe, can you sing anything besides? And then the whole crowd went crazy. That was the best part. And I think he thought of that. That's why I think he was trying to throw the mic to Joe. I think it went past him.
Yeah.
He probably thought of that joke as soon as he saw Joe, and he was trying to throw the mic to him. And I think Jesse caught it. But that whole part was hilarious. I think I like Mike Epps and Joe Torre's one when they was cracking on the crowd. That was funny.
They were good.
And then they started cracking on each other. He was like, I know you ain't talking. You used to come out Def Jam with a cowboy hat on with baby powder on your chest or something. He's saying about Joe Torre. He was like, ain't that about a bitch? And he was like, you with them, Crip cornrows you used to have. He was like, didn't you used to have Crip cornrows or something? And then they started, talking about Jesse Williams sweater, talking about, he was like, he got on a pajama top or something like that.
Yeah, I got the bottom.
I was dying. Yeah, and then he was saying, he was like, a lot of y'all out here with body suits on and ain't got no body. He's like, look like a wrestler. And then he started doing it. Like walking like a wrestler. That shit was hilarious. I was dying. But which one?
No, I'm saying the whole special was great. Like all the comedians they brought back.
Yeah.
They had Melanie Camacha. They had Adele Givens. Like,
she did a little bit too.
Look, I was a little upset because Monique wasn't there.
Monique or Samora wasn't there. I think Samora wasn't there. I think Samora wasn't there because of Cheryl Underwood. Because, you know, they had a little Cheryl Underwood under the bus.
Right.
I think she's the only one that got beef with them because I think the rest of them cool with her. I don't know about Monique or I know they had a little tidbit or whatever.
Monique is too real for everybody right now. Monique is tired and she's telling her truth and she's on a red
right.
tape.
She don't want to be around all them comedians.
So,
yeah.
They probably didn't invite her. They probably was like, nah, let her stay home.
Right, exactly.
And then that's going to end up on her next Big Mama Chronicles where she's going to be going off on Periscope.
Yep, she going off on everybody.
Right, exactly. What you call it? It was something else. Oh, yeah, I love Cheryl Underwood when they had them out the beginning and she doing all that cussing. And then I thought that was funny because she just kept, like, randomly cussing because, you know, she can't cuss on daytime. She had that talk show on CBS, The Talk. And so she thought, she was like, and they was like, all the comedian, Steve Harvey was doing stuff, saying something. He's like, you had the best, comedian, golden comedy right here. And he was like, they used to talk about all kind of stuff on there. And she was like, what the f*** they be talking about? And I was just in there dying because he used to be randomly cussing for no reason. And he was like, and he was throwing his jokes was all right. He was, Steve Harvey, he just kept saying how much money he had now.
Yeah, I mean, it was all right.
I mean, that shit was all right. But, nigga, joke is tied, all right? He was like on ABC or something. I'm like, all right, cool for you, dude. You got any more jokes? Okay, you don't? All right, get off the stage. You and your looking like Mr. Potato Head, get out of here. What else happened on there? I think he looks... But, and then it was, I read one update, they didn't know y'all know that he had on a zipper fade for decades, so I'm gonna need for y'all to quit acting like that, y'all didn't know that wasn't real. That thing on his head, cause.
Listen, nobody's all that perfect people.
Have y'all not watched Def Jam tapes? He used to have a big ass bald spot in his head on them tapes. How'd you go from having bald spots to having a full ass fade? Get out of here. And it tastes like this ain't me making this up, like this is on the end.
Everybody knows Steve wears a wig, and Jamie got, like, a lace front situation.
Oh, man.
With the hairline. Like, hey, come on.
Y'all. Oh, man.
Don't be dense, people. Catch up.
Oh, man. I wouldn't try to throw him in there, but I was just talking about Steve Harvey. But, yeah, his mustache and his fade used to come off at the same time. So, but he still got the stash, so he looked like Mr. Potato Head. But, yeah, that Death Jam 25 was amazing. That Death Jam 25 was amazing. I loved it. What else you wanted to talk? You said the Family Matters reunion.
I saw those pictures.
The family, entertainment
will do. We're about to pass out.
You get me with that crazy Mr. Potato Head, because you know what? It's true.
Right. It's true.
I'm just saying. But say it again, E.D., about the Family Matters picture.
No, I was saying, I think it was Entertainment Weekly that did the whole Family Matters reunion, and they had everybody come together, and they did, like, dinner and drinks, and they did a big photo shoot for the show. I don't know why, but, yeah, shout out to them, I guess.
Well, you didn't care about it.
I mean, you know,
that was
kind of
shady, though, because they did do that. What?
They left out Judy. They even had a picture of Mother Winslow, even though she died. They had a picture of her on the table when they took a picture around her picture. But they didn't have Judy on there. I wasn't a fan of Family Matters, just like I wasn't a fan of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, honestly. But I thought it was cool to see everybody come back together. Everybody really pretty much looks the same. Like, they just look a little old. Well, some of them just look a little older, you know, a little weight is set in, but everybody pretty much looks the same. They look good. Judy was mad, of course, and she did an interview with some outlet. I don't remember which one, but yeah, they came together and they back. So,
I know. I think I read somewhere where they got some of their, I don't know if the whole, I think they had the whole season on Hulu or something like that.
Yeah.
But I was going to say about it, I didn't really like Family Matters until, like, Steve was, like, a teen, like, when they were in high school. That's the only time, like, I think that might have been.
Well, that's when it got good.
Third or fourth season. I didn't like the first couple of seasons.
On there, and Tracy Spencer.
Oh, yeah. And Shanice,
yeah.
Yeah, those episodes were good. But everything, like, when they were young, like, real young, like, the first two seasons, I didn't like it.
Yeah, no.
And probably why they didn't have Judy on there, because after she left, I mean, they left her upstairs. Them episodes weren't that great to me when she was on there. But
I mean, but we all.
I don't like them episodes.
Doing upstairs all those years.
I guess they thought people was dumb. Like, what were they thinking? Producers or whoever was in charge of the show? Like, oh, they weren't gonna notice. How did we notice that y'all got rid of a whole character? Like, I didn't even say, hey, she went to boarding school or something. Y'all just like completely just. Acting like she didn't exist anymore. Like, what? Just like with, did they even write for the aunt? I know the aunt was in the pictures. I saw Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel was in there. Richie was in there. They had Walter.
But they didn't even write her out either in the show. So I'm trying to figure out, like.
Oh, no, she just left.
Man, they just, and then left him there, left her there. Didn't they have no reason? Like, she had a whole child she left behind. Y'all ain't gonna give a backstory to that either? Like, what, this kid is here like he a foster child or something. Like, did she get on drugs or something? Like, why'd she leave? Like, nobody had a, cause you know the last, like, seasons, like, they were, like, taking care of Richie. And then, what's his name? 3J or something like that.
3J.
So, I'm like, why, where's his mama at? Why is he here all the time? Where'd the mama go? Did she run off with somebody? Y'all ain't write nothing for that. So, shout out to the writers for being irresponsible.
I think during that time, though, with the aunt, I want to say she was taping another show. And so that's why
she
had made it
out.
Oh, yeah.
But,
like you said, they could have rushed something in there.
Damn
right.
Wrong. Like, she got grounded and never came back.
Right. It was in Rachel's place. Remember she opened like
wait, I think she did come downstairs because then the grandma getting married, I think she was there. Like this was a little bit she was on episode, I think that episode where the grandma got married to that dude, she was on there.
Wait.
Judy. Because she was a little bit older. She was a teenager.
Mama Winslow got married?
Yeah. That's how you know I watched I think the last three seasons of Family Matters because I liked it. Yeah, I thought it was funny the writing then, but yeah, the mama got married. Cause I remember, cause that was the last episode I think I saw Rachel cause she sung at the wedding. And then we didn't hear from her no more after that. We didn't hear from Rachel or Judy. I think they both went off together. Cause Judy was in that episode, I think.
But we know.
Cause she was a teenager. So she did come downstairs to go to her grandma's wedding. And then that was it. But that's just, yeah. What else in savvy news?
OJ, the juice is loose.
The juice is loose out here. Yeah, that is savvy news. The juice is loose, and he out here taking pictures. He don't know. I don't think technology was that progressive when he got it first got in there, because I think it was like 06 or 07.
Kind of long.
It was. Then MySpace was popping when he went when he went in. He got MySpace fans when he was out. That was the last time. That was like, wasn't he almost in there 10 years?
I think it was over 10 years.
Yeah, he was in there for 9.5 years.
Oh, it should have been 10, because don't they hold you for like a year before your trial go in? So technically 10 years, because I think they hold you. But yeah, the juice is loose out here. I told y'all, we told y'all that one show he was getting out. Yeah, he basically went to jail for taking his own, trying to get his stuff back. Like, how you get to jail for that? And then the person that went to jail actually testified him in court to get him out. So I'm like, I try to figure out, like, y'all basically just wasted tax dollars, like, putting him in jail. Because the person that he claimed, the victim that said that the dude pointed guns at him, he testified and said that, like, nah, it was a misunderstanding. And he robbed him anyway. Like, OJ got picked better friends. Because how your friends rob you and then get mad because you want your stuff back? Like, what sense does that make? These are white people problems to the max, because I don't, well, I guess I should say rich white people problems, because I don't understand this. Like, I used
well,
to
you know that was really about him.
He was crying and everything in court over OJ. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? This is like,
well, you know, they
Caucasian.
Came up from 92. Like, that's really what that was about.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. It was
because like, the dude that.
Don't get you on everything else.
I don't know if the dude, it was like two people involved. I think the one guy died of natural causes that was a part of it, but the main guy that was saying that the dudes in the room pointed guns at him, OJ's people pointed guns at, he said that OJ, he basically testified and said that they was cool or whatever after that. So I'm like, I understand why he was in jail for so long. But yeah, the juice is loose out here, and yeah, he's out here. The juice is loose. All
right. He's loose.
He's loose, and he need to stay out of trouble. Wherever he at, he need to stay there. In Las Vegas, I think he's trying to go back to Florida.
No,
yeah,
you're
too old to be getting in trouble. You almost 80, so you need to get your life together. You can't be at-risk. You can't be an at-risk youth at 80, so you need to get it together and get your life right. But he don't seem like he got good sense, though, so hopefully his older children would keep him in line or something. But, yeah.
Before we run out of time, real quick, let's just shout out to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Rufus and Chaka Khan, Nina Simone, all nominated to go into the Hall of Fame this year. So.
Yep. And they could all get in there too, because ain't nobody else. We let y'all get all the Caucasian folks in. That's cool, but y'all need to get some more.
Right.
Black acts on there, and these are all phenomenal musicians. So yeah, shout out to them for that. Chaka should have been on there. She should have been getting her due on there. All them great albums she dropped. But yeah, you do your what you say. Our best. Let's do this real quick. Name our what you say.
Guilty pleasure that you have musically, like an artist or a song that you listen to or like. But you don't really want people to know that you listen to or like this artist.
That's interesting, because I don't have any kind of music that I feel that way about. I'm trying to think. I was thinking about it the whole time you said that. So I guess that's the
Stephanie.
I do.
Stephanie, I know you got one.
Yes, it's, I actually got two. I don't really want to say it because I feel like this is just going to just ruin everything. But the first one is. I still listen to Informer by Snow. And
why? 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 That doesn't make any of the sense. I don't understand.
Okay,
you like that. You like that, but you don't like Kumo D. You like that, but you don't like Kumo D. How you like me now? Really?
Don't judge me, okay?
First off, we're going to get this out the way, because I was wanting to say, I've been waiting for you to come on the show so we get this understanding, okay? Kumo D, How You Like Me Now is one of my favorite Kumo D songs.
Garbage.
First off, he has bars. he had bars on there, and he was nursery rhyming for y'all, and he was still dropping gems through that whole thing. He said, yes, he was. He was dropping all the gems on there. How you like me now?
Yeah, that's
how wrap it up. Art, and I'm like Picasso, but of course, you try so hard to paint a picture, and I itch your stuff in my shoes. Hey, look, it's, I'm bigger and better than can ever be. Every time I rock the mic, I left a stain in your brain that will remain stuck in the back of your brain.
Oh,
I disrespect, I come correct, the rhymes I select. What? What? The rhymes right there?
Yeah.
He said rap is an art, and I'm like Picasso. What? But of course, else you try so hard to paint a picture. What? Your favorite rapper couldn't come up with something that clever. And he was hitting you with the nursery rhyme flow, and he's still killing it. That was the best song.
It didn't kill LL Cool J at all, but, you know.
Yo, that was the illest cover ever. He had a Jeep with his Kangol at the bottom of it. Who was doing that back then? Nobody. He was taking direct shots. That's a legend. You better respect how you like me now. That's the joint. You like snow. That is the goofiest song ever. No, fake ass Jamaican. Right. He was no kind of Jamaican. That fake ass Jamaican accent. That accent went real. That was the fakest accent in the world. That old whack ass song. I hate that song.
Brace yourself, guys, because I'm really... Oh.